Consumer price inflation in April rose by 4.4% on a year-on-year basis. That's at a slower pace than the 4.5% recorded in March. The latest print is well within the Reserve Bank's inflation target band of 3 to 6%. How might this feed into the Reserve Bank's decision on interest rates tomorrow? Well, I'm joined on the line by Sanisha Pakrisamy. She's an economist at Momentum Investments. Thanks very much for joining us, Sanisha. The headline CPI number slowed a bit, well within the Reserve Bank's target band. But of course, fuel prices continue to place upward pressure on the index. And with international oil prices quite elevated and the additional carbon tax coming next month, presumably this trend is not likely to stop.
Good evening, Nompu, and thank you for having me on your show. Today's positive inflation surprise was actually in line with a long string of positive inflation surprises that we've seen over the last 2 years. So if we look at the last 24 months, 21 out of those 24 readings had an inflation number that was actually lower than what the consensus expected or in line. So only 3 out of the last 24 numbers have actually surprised negatively to the upside. And I think a lot of that has been due to a lot lower pass-through from the currency. I think retailers are quite worried about footfall and volume, so they haven't really passed on those cost increases. And we've also seen much lower than expected food inflation and services inflation, which has also trended much lower, given that rental inflation doesn't really have much pricing power at the moment.
So in terms of food prices, they seem to have moderated quite a bit. I mean, they're 2.3%. Meat prices in particular coming down quite a lot. Things like steak down about 4% or 5%. Is that trend likely to continue?
On the food side, we have to look at the two biggest components here. The one is bread and cereal prices, where at the producer price level, at the crop level, inflation has slightly ticked a bit lower, but is in positive territory. And then the second half that we're looking at here is on meat prices. Now, at the producer level, meat prices are actually still in deflation and quite considerably so, but we do think that this is going to change in upcoming months. Now, one of the factors that was driving meat inflation quite low was the fact that we had the foot and mouth disease that was impacting meat supplies. So we actually had export bans on a number of meat products. So what happened was the domestic supplies grew relative to the demand, and we saw prices fall in that category. Now that the disease has been put to bed, what we do have is that export bans could in fact be lifted, which means that the domestic supplies relative to what is exported could go down. And that demand-supply imbalance could actually drive meat inflation higher. Remember that chicken is also a component within that basket. And we've seen the Poultry Association looking to increase the import rate on those chicken imports into South Africa, and that could have an upward impact on inflation on the food basket.
Sanisha, the Reserve Bank has estimated that inflation will remain within its target band of 3 to 6% until sometime in 2021. From where you're sitting, what do you see as the major threats to price increases?
I think the major threats to price increases, as you've pointed out, was the fuel price. The international price of oil sitting close to $71 per barrel. Close to the end of last year, we were sitting closer to $55 per barrel. So there are some implications coming through from Venezuela, which continues to murk through economic malaise, and that's been cutting down on supplies from that country. We've also seen some issues around Iran. More positively, however, we did see Saudi Arabia as well as the United Arab Emirates coming to the party and saying that they will actually supply what is being cut off from Iran. And remember, that's just one side of the story, so we also need to look at demand, not just the supply of oil. And we know that global growth is slowing, and I think that this will keep a bit of a lid on oil prices. Currency could also have a negative impact if we enter another EM, emerging market risk-off environment, so that would be one of the key factors. Previously, wage inflation was also one of the key risk factors to inflation, but in recent months, we've seen that slowing quite considerably.
To what extent do you think a hawkish US Fed helps steadying the hand of the Reserve Bank when it comes to interest rates?
At the moment, it looks as though the Federal Reserve has continued to plug through on this response that they want to pause on interest rate policy because they are quite uncertain around financial and economic implications from the rest of the world. So we've actually seen global policy uncertainty indices remaining at all-time highs. And in our view, we expect that, together with muted inflation pressures in the United States, to steady the hand of the Fed.
Well, let's hope it steadies the hand of the Reserve Bank as well tomorrow. Thanks very much, Sunisha, for your time and insights. As always, that was Sunisha Pakrisamy. She's an economist at Momentum Investments.